Good evening. Welcome to another Bedtime Stories. We're reading A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. This is Chapter 17, Fleeing the Revolution. Just before 3 that afternoon, a carriage going out of Paris stopped at the city's gates. "Your travel papers?" demanded a guard. The papers were passed out of the carriage, and the guard read, "Alexander Manette, doctor, French. Which passenger is he?" Jarvis Lorry pointed to a helpless, murmuring old man. "This is he." "The citizen doctor doesn't seem to be in his right mind," said the guard. "The fever of the revolution must be too much for him." "Lucy, his daughter, French. The wife of Evremonde, I believe?" "She is," replied Mr. Lorry. "The same Evremonde who has a date with the guillotine?" sneered the guard. "Then there is Lucy, her child, English, and Sidney Carton, lawyer, English. Which is he?" "Here," said Mr. Lorry, pointing to an unconscious figure slumped in the corner of the carriage. "He has been in poor health and has just come from a sad parting from a friend who is in trouble with the Republic. And last, Jarvis Lorry, banker, English." "I am Jarvis Lorry. May we leave Paris now, citizen?" "Yes, here are your papers, signed and ready," said the guard. "Have a good journey." End of chapter 17, and now the finale. Chapter 18, Outwitting the Guillotine. As the guillotine awaited its victims that day, Madame Defarge met with Jacques II and Jacques III. She had chosen Jacques II's woodcutter's hut near the prison for the meeting rather than the wine shop. "I am here alone," she explained to them, "because while my husband is a good Republican and a brave man, he feels sorry for the doctor. I myself care nothing for Dr. Manette, alive or dead, but the Evremonde family must be destroyed. The wife and child must follow the husband and the father to the guillotine." "What a pretty sight that would be," croaked the men, rubbing their hands in glee. "But I cannot trust my husband in this matter. If he knew of my plans, he might even warn them so they could escape. I need your help, Citizen Woodcutter. Will you testify in court that you saw Evremonde's wife making signs to the prisoners from the road?" "Certainly. I saw her standing there every afternoon for months, sometimes with the child, and once even with her father. Clearly she was plotting with the prisoners against the Republic." "Will the jury go along?" she asked Jacques III, who was a member of the tribunal's jury. "You can count on the jury," he assured her. "I really cannot let the doctor go free, even for my husband's sake," added Madame Defarge. "The guillotine needs more heads. Meet me in St. Antoine tonight, and we will denounce them all. In the meantime, I want to see Evremonde's wife while she is mourning his death sentence and is full of anger against the Republic. She will surely speak of her hatred for the Revolution, and that will serve as more evidence against her at the trial. I will meet you at my usual chair at the guillotine." And with a pistol hidden in her dress and a dagger in her belt, Madame Defarge left the hut and made her way to the Manette house. Mr. Lorry had arranged for Miss Pross and Jerry Cruncher to follow them minutes later in another smaller carriage, since the first one could only hold the 5 travelers whose escape was more urgent. Jerry had gone out to bring round the carriage, and as Miss Pross was about to leave, the door burst open and Madame Defarge stormed in. "Where is the wife of Evremonde?" she demanded. Miss Pross moved to block the doorway to Lucy's room, knowing that the longer she kept the Frenchwoman here, the more time her dear Lucy would have to escape. "You are a hard woman," said Miss Pross, "but I am harder. I know of your evil plans, but you won't succeed." Madame peered into the 3 rooms whose doors stood open. All were empty. Then she lunged at the door Miss Pross was blocking, but the Englishwoman grabbed her around the waist, locking in the dagger hidden in her belt. Unable to struggle out of the strangling hold of the powerful woman, Madame Defarge reached into her blouse and seized the pistol. But she was not quick enough, for Miss Pross struck at it. There was a flash, then a shot, and through the smoke Miss Pross saw the body of Madame Defarge lying dead at her feet. As the coach carrying Miss Pross and Jerry left Paris, the wooden carts bringing the day's 52 prisoners arrived at the guillotine. "There is Evremonde," shouted someone in the crowd. "Down with all aristocrats," shouted others. Many women sat knitting as they watched and counted the heads drop from the guillotine. One of these women looked around at the empty chair near her. "Where is Therese Defarge?" she cried. "She never misses executions, and surely not this one." Sidney Carton was number 23. As his cart rumbled toward the platform, he turned his eyes toward heaven and whispered, I see my dear friends for whom I am giving my life, living peaceful, useful, happy lives. I see them holding a special place for me in their hearts, remembering me with love, as no one ever did before. Yes, this is a far, far better thing that I am doing than anything I have ever done in my life. The eternal rest that I am going to will be a far, far better rest than any I have ever known. The end. And that's it, kids. The Tale of Two Cities. The story you could stand. Wow. Self-sacrifice. Pretty special. Well, I hope you enjoyed The Tale of Two Cities. We'll be back with more bedtime stories soon. Good night.